You're listening to Around Comics, episode 117. Thanks for listening to Around Comics, the comic book roundtable. I'm Sal, your host for this episode, and I'd like to thank you for joining us. If this is your first time listening, Around Comics is a roundtable show featuring a revolving panel of guests talking about comic books and graphic novels. We release two shows a week on Mondays and Thursdays. Today we're going to be discussing the past week's news as well as books that we're reading and take a look at what's coming out next week. Be sure to check back on Thursday when we talk with Scotty Young and Mike Norton about how to be a comic book artist. Before we get started, I'd like to remind everybody that this episode is sponsored by Borders.
To help mice thrive in a world filled with harsh conditions and predatory attacks, the Mouse Guard was formed. In this first volume, Saxon, Kenzie,
Boy,
Liam are dispatched to find a missing merchant mouse that never arrived at his destination. In doing so, they stumble onto much more than they had bargained for. Get your copy of David Peterson's A Man Breakthrough Series Mouse Guard at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the newest graphic novels, manga, and more. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
Also, I'd like to mention that Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you.
Like a soup kitchen.
I'd also like to introduce the rest of the panel. We have Tom Caters, who you just heard there a moment ago.
Hello.
Scotty Young, artist of New X-Men.
Hello, motherfuckers.
Chris Crank of the Crankcast.
Hi there.
And Mike Norton, artist of All New Adam.
All right, I have to get Crank home. He's got a curfew.
All right, guys. Well, it's another Monday episode, so that means it's time for Wire to Wire comic book news.
There's news.
Wire to Wire comic book news.
All right, Wire to Wire comic book news. Let's start off. This story is just sort of something I wanted to throw in there. Punisher Max number 50 by Garth Ennis and Howard Chaykin, one of my favorite artists of all time.
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I love Chaykin stuff.
Oh, and, me and Mike are here too,
was
buddy.
Was going to say that's cool or you suck?
Yeah. He swooped in on that.
No, because I used to be a big fan of American Flag. That's really cool.
I love that series.
American Flag as well.
Chaykin's freaking awesome, man.
He is. He
we
is.
All agree?
What? Chaykin?
New man rule law.
So he will be doing the art duties on Punisher Max number 50, and I think it's a super extra-sized anniversary issue, so look forward to that.
Okay.
Now, the next story is you can read Runaways number 25, the first Joss Whedon issue for free at Whedon's blog, WhedonS.com/comment/13683.
That's easy
that's
to
pretty
find.
Easy fucking website there, Josh.
Nice find. Thank
good
you.
Job, buddy.
He released
probably some Buffy's jokes.
You know what?
Real.
Put in
real nerdy.
Yeah. www.abcdefghij. Fuck off.
Come
yeah.
Visit my GeoCities.
GeoCities.
But I'm guessing this is Marvel's attempt to make a critically acclaimed book also commercially acceptable.
Yeah, as if this book needs any more.
Yeah,
behind it.
This book could not get published, and it would still be the highest selling book Marvel
is it,
had.
Is Runaways? I don't think Runaways has ever been that successful.
No, with the Whedon jump.
As far as the fan response goes, I mean,
yeah,
this book's been huge.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. But I mean, probably but not as big as when I did the fill in for the. I mean, when I did the free comic book day thing, that was pretty big, but...
Well, Marvel's coming out with Whedon farting on a snare drum, and it's already sold out at Diamond.
This really was just me being snippy, wasn't it? Yeah. Sorry. I apologize.
Shut up, Crank!
But you can read the first issue there. Well, it's issue 25, but it's his first issue. You can read it for free. So if you haven't jumped on the Runaways bandwagon at this point, maybe now is a good opportunity. Next story. Jeremy Hahn is going to put down the pencil and start typing away on a new graphic novel called Narcoleptic Sunday. He's going to be doing writing.
Technically, he already did, yes.
It's going to be released soon.
Good Lord. Sorry.
Jeez.
I'm a
You're
bastard.
So fucking wrong, Sal.
Jeremy Hahn, best known for his illustration work on books like The Leading Man and Battle Hymn, which is one of my favorite series from him.
How many favorites do you have?
I have a lot of favorites.
Wow. Don't forget Special Mission of Manhattan.
There's certainly that. But he's going to be doing writing duties on this, and the art is going to be by Brian Koshak. Narcoleptic Sunday follows the adventures of Jack Larch, a man who can sleep anywhere, as he finds himself the suspect of a murder investigation. So,
I can sleep anywhere.
No, he's actually narcoleptic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's running across the field and he just falls asleep.
Hey, not to ruin this for the listeners, I could fall asleep right now. Swear to God, man. If I had a cot.
Good for Jeremy. Everybody go buy it.
Yes, absolutely.
Jeremy's a very nice man.
Yes, he is.
He looks like a chipmunk.
But. He does. Yeah. He does.
Wow. You guys are some petty motherfuckers.
It's not petty. It's love.
It's love.
Sometimes
hey, chipmunk. Ugly chipmunk motherfucker.
He didn't say he was ugly. He just said he looked like a chipmunk.
Well, you don't like chipmunks? You got something against chipmunks?
I'm afraid of those little skeezy fuckers.
Alvin, Simon, Theodore.
Oh, I like those chipmunks because they had really cool t-shirts.
No. And Jason Lee. How long Lee? Until Jason Lee? Hi, Jason Lee's belt and shoelaces.
Seriously?
That's for a different podcast.
Our next story, Jeff Smith, the creator of...
Can I ask something real quick?
Sure.
A news story now is... One news story is announcing that a news story is going to happen later. That's what this one coming up is. Now finish.
Well, the reason behind it, Scotty, if I must explain my logic to you, is that there was an image of his new book, Jeff Smith's new book, Rattle.
Oh, on Newsarama today?
It's been around. It's been floating around for a couple of weeks, and so it was announced that he's going to be debuting it at San Diego Con.
Oh, okay.
So the point was, if you're going to San Diego Con and you happen to be a Jeff
you'll
Smith fan,
you'll get some news.
You'll get to find out more about that book there. Wow. So look.
Someone's aiming for your job, Sal.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Next 24-hour podcast.
It's really just Bone under a different name.
Bone.
Oh, maybe.
You know, I just bought the Bone thing. I never had it and read it.
Bone's really good.
Yeah. You got it.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet. I mean, Jesus Christ, really it's 9,000 pages. I just bought it 2 days ago.
Did that reach a point of required reading it?
I think so, yeah.
It's really good. It is really good.
I mean, when people, I have friends that don't really read comics at all are telling me it's fantastic. So, I mean, like,
I mean, it's so widely...
When I hear that from people that don't read very many comics ever, then I'm like, I should check it out.
It's also admirable that Jeff Smith, like, put so everything, much into doing that.
Yeah. I feel the same way, like, I've said it on here about Akira before.
On the Crankcast.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and you're unlike.
God damn! Wow!
He did say that he likes us more than you are.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
He's jealous.
I know.
But any... Why don't you like us better?
I do. I can't help it. Crank's hot. Look at him.
It's all right, Scotty.
Seriously, he has like flames coming out of his eyes. Anyway, let's talk about
Ultimate Spider-Man 100 cover project hardcover and trade paperback. Oh, I'm supposed to read it now.
Well, you started. I don't know.
You 100 original Spider-Man covers and Ultimate Spider-Man number 100 is putting the covers in a deluxe package. Here's previously announced Ultimate Spider number 100 project book will also be available in hardcover. I'm slaughtering this. The limited edition only 1,000 copies will be available for $25. Does it include the McFarlane cover?
I don't think so.
So it's only $99, unless they got someone else to do the 100.
I don't know. Maybe somebody else did the 100. But yeah, it's the Hero Ultimate Spider-Man 100 project where they did the 100 different covers by 100 different artists. Well, actually, it wasn't even 100 different artists. But it's 100 different Ultimate Spider-Man covers, and they're collecting it in a trade, and also a limited edition hardcover, and all the proceeds will be going to Hero Initiative.
It's a good cause.
Yeah, it'll be more of an art book than a trade paperback, right?
I mean, there's no story involved, right. Unless you make one up as you're flipping pages.
And that should be a contest we have.
Make up a story for you.
A cohesive
It'd be a cool
story.
'90s book.
Yeah.
Right? Does every splash page. Spider-Man reaches into
his pouch. A little movie news. There's a rumor going around that almost famous actor Billy Crudup will be taking the role of Dr. Manhattan in the Zack Snyder-helmed adaptation of
The Watchmen. Oh, that sucks. I'm just saying what everyone... The
is already decided. People don't like Billy Crudup.
No, people won't like anything involving.
Who is Billy?
He's awesome.
He is awesome. Man.
Who is he?
He was in Big Fish. He was the son in Big Fish.
Big Fish.
Almost famous. He's the main guy. The
guitar player.
Guitar player of the band.
Fever Down.
Yeah, I'm a golden god.
What's wrong with him?
Nothing. I was just making fun of the fact that on the internet, anytime anyone mentions the Watchmen movie, someone has to say this is worse than. The most horrible.
Yeah, than the devil.
Happened. Yeah, than the devil. This is the worst thing ever.
I say rad.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking the stand. Yeah. It's about time.
A little more movie news. actor Kevin Spacey talked to Variety about getting his head shaved and back in the game for Superman 2. Superman Returns 2. Well, that was sort of what it was. It's like, why Luther again? It has to be Luther.
Brainiac is totally sweet, and they'll never use him because they're obsessed with Luthor.
Well, technically, I think in 3, that was sort of a representation of Brainiac.
No. God damn it. What's Richard Pryor then in 4?
Awesome. What else are you wanting? What? Awesome? Yeah.
That's true.
So look for more.
You become a computer expert in a day? I don't think so.
How did you guys feel about Spacey as Luther in Superman Returns?
I thought he did a...
Admiral Knight?
No, I thought he was like, wow. Why didn't they just hire Gene Hackman if you're gonna just do Gene Hackman?
But again, I don't ever blame actors for what movies like that. You can't blame the actor. It's obviously Kevin Spacey is an amazing actor. It's what the director and the script tells you to do. So he
I don't know. In that instance, though, it's like
secondary to his henchmen. Though
I'm so sick of seeing normal guys beating the shit out of Superman. Yeah. You have a character who could fight a giant fucking robot or a giant alien, and you insist on having
a dude in a beanie.
From Kumar. Yeah. Kumar goes to White Castle, kicking him in the
goddamn stocking. They always with
He's
a black tight sweater and a stocking cap.
To have Kumar kick him in the balls. I like giant alien.
Going back to what you're saying, though, I like Luther versus Superman because it's like brains over brawn. You know what I'm saying?
In a while, but Jesus Christ.
Well, but does it always
it's like fucking Smallville? Every movie, it's like that's all we see all over and over
you
and
would
over.
Think he's the only
I would agree if at some point they don't have in the background when he's walking around.
Right.
Because it kind of takes all the steam out of this big, scary bad guy.
Yeah.
And once in a while, if he would maybe, you know, if he's so smart, brains over brawn, maybe win.
Build a giant robot?
You know, because, I mean, in this one, let's see. I am definitely an evil villain if I think, wow, I'm going to build some real estate. Fucking plan, you know, like...
He does, it's the same idea. Plot.
I'm going to build some real estate. She even goes, well, what's going to stop the rest of the world from coming to take it from you? Shut up, I'm just building it. They literally address their own story hole in the movie through the characters, and they just go, we didn't think about that.
Bring me Brainiac.
For the most recent
bring me
movie,
Kumar.
You're confusing the quasi-sequel status of it with actually being whether it's original or not. You know, I mean, the thing was not really a sequel, but it was a sequel. And, you know, nobody could ever make up their minds about it, but, you know, obviously they're repeating some certain storylines.
I can't wait to see... Kid start doing blow.
It just seemed to have so many issues as far as, like, you know, I can't think of the actor's name that played... He wasn't even playing Clark Kent. He was playing Christopher Reeve, Clark Kent.
I know,
it was scary. Wasn't
I don't know.
And Kevin Spacey was
trying to
get
into a review of the movie, but that was my whole problem with the movie, is that everybody was trying to pretend that they were the original Superman.
Yeah.
Bryan Singer wanted that. I mean, if you watch the special features on that.
Come on, you're...
When Bryan Singer got the job, he started to he talked about, like, I won't even do this movie unless Richard Donner tells me I can do this movie. He literally, you know, he says things like that. So I think Singer was overly obsessed with wanting to mimic. He mimicked himself.
Go watch the original Superman.
You know.
It's pretty good.
What's that?
It is great.
Go watch the original Superman.
I watched it right before I watched the
original. I have the Donner
cut of the
Donner. It's actually really good.
Well, some more Superman news in a different format. It was announced that Canadian Laura Vandervoort
Canada.
Is Land of the role of Supergirl on next season's Smallville.
Yay!
Get a foreigner to play an alien.
I used to love Smallville.
Unholy Passion, even though it's awful.
Yeah. Smallville, the first couple seasons, I was like, I'm going to be okay with watching this kind of melodramatic, cheesy stuff, but each season made me
more sick.
But tell me you did not get excited last season when
I didn't watch the season on TV. You know how I wrote
Justice League showed up.
I didn't watch that one. I just said be quiet.
Wow.
I did not. I don't watch television.
24-hour podcast.
Sorry. Well, the Pearl of Justice League.
I thought it was pretty cool.
But it was awesome, and you got this like excited.
That's
like,
that's the problem with Smallville though, is they give you like out of 24 episodes, they give you about 10 minutes of awesome. And the rest of Lana's terrible fucking acting.
You just need to watch.
Clark, why are you telling me your secrets?
She might be gone.
Secrets.
You just need to watch the first one and the last one of every season. Whatever happens in
the
between.
The actual Superman story?
Doesn't matter. It does not matter.
All right.
The actual Superman stories.
Image Comics has confirmed that founding member Rob Liefeld, who broke in with Image in 1997, is returning to the fold. Image's Joe Keating told ICV2.com that Image's planning two projects with Rob, a deluxe remastered recolored hardcover version of the Maximum Youngblood collection that will feature a new ending scripted by Joe Casey and drawn by Liefeld, and a new ongoing Youngblood series written by Casey and illustrated by Derek Donovan with covers by Liefeld. The Youngblood hardcover is slated for Q4 release, while the new Youngblood ongoing series will commence in 2008.
I think
Can I go ahead and say, like, I wish
expected 2009.
I wish the making fun of Rob Liefeld would just go away.
I think
it's not that I care either way about his artwork, but it's to the point now where guys who weren't even close to being around at the time where he was big don't know why they're making fun of the guy. You know what I mean?
I think it's funny. The thing that shocks me, and this brings me back to the story last week about the House of M, is like, it shocks me, and this is just me, that there are people demanding an end to Youngblood.
Like, well, people pretty fucking sweet. That Die Hard dude is awesome.
People like were like, like people have been waiting. It just reminds me of all the Perfect Strangers fan fiction I've ever read. Because there's a Perfect Strangers.
I know.
People
oh
who think,
God.
Like, I didn't get a satisfactory end to that epic story.
I talked about this before. People sometimes forget. I mean, I might look back at comics that somebody 6 years older than me started off on, and I look at it as like, what the fuck is that? Whereas there are people who started off on a Youngblood. That's what got
them into
comics.
But why not do something different?
But I'm saying you're saying from the fans who are wanting that ending.
Yeah.
If you have a guy who got who was exposed
there was
to
hardly
comic
a start.
Books, not to that not to the person though. Now
there's
I'm not
like
saying
two issues.
I'm not saying that that it was War and Peace, but it was pretty close.
It was. Yeah. I mean, if War and Peace,
well,
that's
I mean,
true.
I
personally,
how long it takes you to actually get through it?
I don't have any kind of grudge against Rob Liefeld. It
I
seems like
bad
people
rock
like just attack the shit out of that guy for. You know, for like he's a bad person.
Yeah.
You know,
sure,
I mean,
I really, I that it gets really old.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just like whatever.
I'm actually
you know,
annoyed by it.
Well, because I feel that there's other people in the industry. I'm not going to name names, but there's other people in the industry. If people want to talk about level of certain talents and here and there, there's other people that are
oh, there's tons
superstars that don't get the
there's,
same.
There's tons,
holdings.
But the
yeah.
I mean, the
well,
thing is, I
have exposure.
Yeah,
Youngblood 1 comes out from Image. I looked at it. I said, "Meh, it's probably not for me."
I built a house
but then
out of number
like,
ones. It was
how
so
many
good.
Years later is it now? And the guy, I mean, you mention his name and people want to set him on fire.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what,
it
what
is,
the
I
hell?
Think, I think there's also there's a weird thing going on too. Is he's doing that Onslaught book with Jeff Loeb, where when it started coming out and people are like, oh, they all made jokes about how it was going to be late. And they're like, oh, well, some people are like, it won't. And then now it's like 4 months late. There's like, there's, it's not necessarily like, the personal attacks on Liefeld are just sort of weird because it's unnecessary to do that. But it's also like, people make the jokes about him being late. And then in a way, he feeds into it by exactly doing what,
yeah, he does
people,
exactly what, they
what,
expect.
What people expect, right. Which is to be like 3 months late on Onslaught. Not to say that's him when he signs up for it.
Is
saying,
it
like,
him?
I'm gonna get, yeah, I mean.
Is he the one being late? I mean, it's not
I
like Loeb only, only does one thing a month.
Yeah,
I mean, he writes like 900 TV shows,
but I mean,
400 books.
There's some personal experience I know of that, you know, it's just like, yeah, he could probably be late.
No, no, I'm not saying
but,
one way or the other. But
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm. You know what I'm actually happy about this news? I really like Derek Donovan's artwork. So.
Well, I don't know him. What's
I might
drawn?
Actually look at this.
And what's, Joe Casey.
What's
who's,
Derek draw,
Derek, Derek recently just did the Connor Hawk miniseries for DC.
Talk some. Say something I might have seen.
Connor Hawk's like Green Arrow. He's Green Arrow side.
He's
nope,
done lots
else.
Of all DC
he's like
stuff. He did. He's
Robin Hood.
He's done some Superman
yeah, no.
stuff.
Superman stuff? I know Superman.
I'm more excited about the Supremes getting the awesome entertainment stuff back. Like the stuff that was Supreme.
The stuff that was under, like, litigation
yeah.
or whatever.
All the, yeah. whatever, all that weird stuff.
I mean, well, to come at it from a standpoint of somebody, I let off the joke about Expected in 2009. I'm one of those
Dick.
People you're annoyed with,
oh.
all right? No, seriously, I am, because every time I hear Life
well,
Out
get the
them,
fuck
I'm,
out of
I'm
here,
like,
then.
Do I have to kill you again?
Well, I'm saying that it's comic books. I'm
again,
back.
Again, zombie right? Crank showed up for the show.
But I'm saying that, like,
brains.
I'm one of those people that every time I hear his name, I'm like, oh, whatever, you know, and something comes out of my mouth. But it's like a cliche. He's built up to it. And he plays into that. He certainly does the big bad boy role.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it just thing, seems like you know? It gets, like people just it's convenient and it's hip to, you know, to just jump on him. Whenever his name's mentioned, it's like that's the easiest thing to do as opposed to any type of actual conversation about him, as opposed to, you know, I mean, it's unfortunate, I think, for him, but, you know, hey, he's made a shitload of money, so
okay,
I guess it's not that unfortunate.
The risk of alienating tons of people, I'm going to bring him, Mark just brought up a point. And, you know, there is a certain thing to be said about his style of art.
Don't say style.
I'm going to say
it's
that
not about style.
There are a lot of times when, all right,
it's about
this is weird, because I was just talking about this, like, not, you know, 45 minutes ago, but he's, odd in his anatomy.
Right.
Well, sure, but he's not the only one. There's worse
no,
artists than Rob Liefeld that have drawn comics.
They may be his profile.
Well, but that's not his fault.
No, I'm not saying that.
that's fans' fault.
But
they're the ones that bought the fucking books when he came around.
I fucking
exactly,
loved him when I was
he's in a position
a
where
freshman
like,
in high school.
The people like
all the people that bitch and
like Tim Seeley, the people like that, like that's what they grew up with and love it.
There was a reason that motherfucker was on jeans commercials and shit like that.
Yeah,
everybody loved him.
He's dynamic. He knows how to make things.
Everybody that bitches about him now
but
were the ones that were buying the fucking books then.
Let's move on to the next one.
All right.
Yeah, let's go on. I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Coming this September from DC Comics is a new 8-issue limited series, Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters.
You guys ever read Blood Wolf?
From the writing duo of
Blood Wolf.
Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray.
I really liked the first Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters.
I know you
really
did.
It was very, very good.
And they're also asking fans to try and make a statement to DC to turn it into an ongoing series.
I love the character of Uncle Sam. I think it's such. I know it's like hokey to have a character that's like Uncle Sam, but it's also sort of it's the same way that I think in comic books, especially, people have sort of an expectation that characters need to be overly. We talked about this in the realism, where people
right.
like, you can't have a character like Uncle Sam because Uncle Sam's just in a, you
an
know,
idea,
like
an
idea about
idea.
It. But there's actually something really cool about an idea of
what
a character.
About that series Uncle Sam, the one from the 90s.
Alex Ross did
yeah,
the like 3-issue.
The weird one where he was like a hobo.
People
Hobo
don't
Sam?
Ever fucking talk about that. You're the only person I've ever heard mention that.
Okay,
mention
sorry.
Uncle Sam. But I think Uncle Sam's like he's a great idea for a character because it's really easy to take a character like that and put him in interesting situations. You know?
Sure, because he's idealistic.
He's,
and
he's an idealist. Yeah.
Well, the series is coming out, and they're saying that it's going to be a good jumping on point for people that maybe hadn't read the last one. So there you go.
Yay!
Next story, DC Comics is launching ZutaComics.com.
We have this is right up Crank's alley.
Yes.
I find this.
Not exactly.
No,
I mean,
this is not
think it.
Yeah,
it's
Crank
not,
on the Rocks.
It's
Crank
not
on the Rocks.
DC Comics will soon publish new, never-before-seen online content featuring new characters and concepts through ZutaComics.com. The site is scheduled to launch this October and will feature multiple ongoing webcomics. Following the site's launch, the majority of the webcomics will be selected by ZutaComics.com's visitors, who will vote on new webcomics presented to them in periodic competitions. Winners of the competitions will receive commissions to create a year's worth of the web's comic of their webcomics for the site and will have their work published in print formats as well.
I found this to be a very, like, I read about it in Newsarama actually put up
several interviews.
Well, a lot of creators' thoughts on it.
Sure.
And I agreed with a lot of it. It's I'd like to know what the deal that they give you on it is.
Because it's vague as hell.
It sounds very...
You'll get something for something.
Yeah, it sounds very odd to be like, to start a web comic thing, because it's not even like publishing, right? You have to at least have some money to publish a real book. But all you have to do to do a... I mean, you could basically get a free blog to do a web comic.
Oh, well, let's talk to somebody who knows
about it. This is not a real... I take some umbrage at the fact that you're calling things real books as versus, you know, like, web books.
No, I'm saying a physical book.
A published book as opposed to...
Drink another one.
No, but there's been already a lot of talk about how it's sort of DC's way to cheaply purchase... Intellectual properties.
Yeah, development farm.
And they're going to, you know, offer you a year's worth of publishing, web publishing, and also some print publishing in order for them to take over the rights of your comic. Now, we don't know if that's exactly the case, because we haven't seen the exact verbiage.
We don't know anything about it. Everybody's speculating at this point. They say, yeah, we'll hire you on for a one-year contract, but they don't say anything about the remuneration.
They'll pay you a commission.
Right.
To do that.
Like, what is it per, like, is it like a standard comic contract? Are you on a per-page basis, or are you on what?
And again, this is all speculation, but to me, when you say... we'll commission you to do
a year's worth, right?
That means commission sounds to me like we're going to give you a little money.
Right.
We'll put up the thing, and then who knows, you know, after that, you know.
Well, technically, if you look at it from the aspect, we said, you know, you had said earlier, it's like, well, why not just do it yourself? Go get a free web blog and put up your own web comic. You're not going to get the exposure.
Right. This is name, this is exposure.
That DC Comics can give you. And that's
do this.
Yeah, there are reasons to do it. There may be reasons not to do it.
Sure.
Depends on what you're looking, you know.
Well, it
depends
on whether they actually release any details on what, who owns
look
what.
Look carefully
what
at the contract before you...
I'll tell you what, they're not going to... That stuff is not going to be... Oh, nor should it be as a smart business. They shouldn't release the details of it because... like any business, they're going to want to come away with something, and you don't just put that like, hey, everybody, amateur web comics, come over here so we can stick our big old corporate penis in your butthole.
The thing I don't understand about this is they're pulling like a J.J. Abrams 1808 thing on this where they're like releasing it.
Putting the old 118.
Right.
What the fuck computer code are you talking, Crank?
Okay, I'm sorry. The trailer before Transformers.
Okay, there you go. I got it now. My brain computes.
Well, that's just the comic book industry. We release everything fucking months before.
We just read a news story that came out.
But they're doing this before their months, before of being ready to release any details, any acceptances, anything. They're giving you this thing that's a very basic bare bones of, hey, we're going to do some webcomics. They tell you that it's formatted at 4x3.
Right.
Which, if I can go on about that in a moment.
Sure.
I'd like to.
You're here. But,
They're telling you, like, there's a format, there's a thing, we're going to do it, there's going to be community, and they spend a whole lot of time. I've read, like, four interviews on this thing,
right.
And they spend, like, a good chunk of, like, real estate talking about nothing.
Well, that's everything.
And fine, that's granted, but this is a big deal, you know? That's a big deal. DC stepping into, like, doing,
web
like,
comics.
Weird web comic.
Are the web comics offered for free from...
to visitors?
The impression you get is that it's going to be some sort of, like, the creators are paid on, like, some sort of,
click,
I don't know, like, page
voting.
No, like I said, a commission probably means, here's a flat rate, create a year's worth of your stuff. What I'm asking for is, have they said, are visitors, I mean, when I go
they
to
haven't.
That site.
They haven't yet.
As far as I've said, or as far as I've read so far or seen anything, no. They don't say really anything about how you're going
to
get it.
I think the assumption would be visitor. It would be free to read.
For the average person.
See, I like that idea of like standardizing.
I like the idea of standardizing. That's not the problem. 4x3. That's your standard like monitor screen, like, you know, TV screen of, you know, 5 years ago.
Right.
16x9 is
well. They're doing it. The reason they're doing it though is it'll work on a TV screen, but it'll also work in publishing.
16x9 is not far off of a standard comic. They could go 16x9 and be fine.
Is
and that,
far
that,
off of
16x9 sideways.
That's a little bit longer.
That's
still
longer.
No, but if you're publishing it, they're publishing a 4x3, which means that they're publishing a.
I still
like,
have a black and white TV.
Anyway.
Will I be able to look at these?
I don't.
Do
mind.
I need an RF adapter?
I think it's weird to like. Nail people into a 4x3 ratio when that's like a thing that's already going outmoded as far as like a standard.
Well, a standard in
But
film,
you know what? You know how
and,
but they're picking it because it's a screen ratio.
But it is.
Well, because it'll work on computer screens where you're going to see it.
You got
to
think of, again, like.
Not everybody's going to have a widescreen, you
like
know, computer
comic,
screen
like any,
just because.
Anytime we get into
will,
comic books,
in
think
5 years,
normal
you're
people
be
that aren't computer junkies like you.
In 5 years, you're going to be hard pressed to find people with TVs and computer screens that are.
First of all, it's a web comic. It's a web comic.
I don't know about that.
You're working on 16:9 now.
Yeah.
But it's a web comic.
But I can
talk about titles and material.
But Chris. I can read a 4x3 comic on this 16:9.
Well, in 5 years, hold on.
That's
in 5 years,
computer, and you're already working on 16:9.
In 5 years, when the computer screens are all changed,
that's why it'll work on anything. It'll work on print. It'll work on any
but
computer screen.
In 5
years,
it won't matter. HD's.
But that web comic you're complaining about will be gone.
Yeah, in 5 years, who knows?
It's
if
a web comic. You know, all I have to do is, this web comic, the screens have changed. Let me drop this total digital file into another program.
I'm just gonna read my fucking single issues.
All right. Next.
I'm sorry. I'm just.
I understand.
You don't understand. But Crank's going to beat me.
Shut your mouth.
Next story. Marvel, over at CBR.com, John Mayo noticed that Marvel recently managed to sneak in a few price hikes on some titles. The price hike seems to be isolated to a few specific titles like Ultimate Fantastic Four and New Avengers. To find out if a Marvel title you are reading in this group, check the indicia on the first page of the comic book.
What?
The indicia for Ultimate Fantastic Four number 43 states that the price is $2.99 per copy in the U.S. and $3.75 in Canada. In the direct market, and $3.99 per copy in the U.S. and $5.75 in Canada through the newsstand. So they're doing it basically to newsstand editions of comics that you can walk into a comic shop and buy for $2.99 in the U.S. is $3.99 in, say, Borders or, you know, other, you know, wherever, other newsstands. And they've only done it on a few different issues.
That's so weird.
Well, why? And they were asked, and the only answers we've gotten to this point is they're sort of testing it because in the newsstand editions, they're trying to find out a way to allow for returnables. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because any bookstore, anything they order, they can return. In the direct market, you can't return anything.
But wait a minute. You go into Borders and you pick up a comic book, and you're expecting to pay a certain price for it.
It's going to be more expensive.
Did you guys?
But how does the guy that works at Borders know that?
Well, when they scan it in, they'll just scan it.
But what I'm asking about this is the cover price misrepresented, like versus the indicia? Like, is it saying a certain price? One.
I don't
on
know
the front
if it says it's somewhere else on the cover. I don't think so. I think it's. I don't think there is a different cover price.
The two covers say different things because the one that you buy in your comic book shop in the barcode it says direct.
Direct market and it's $2.99. Yeah. The newsstand edition will have.
I mean, does it still have the price up on the front like normal comics?
I don't know if the newsstand editions do.
Yeah, I don't know.
And if they do, I'm sure it'll say $3.99.
The only thing I would say about this, because, I mean, this is business. I mean, you test out new markets, you do new things, you try price points, you do things like that. The only thing I could say about against that is that, I mean, comics more or less are a standard-ish price. If you're hiding that in some way by
it's
just slipping
it's
into
on
the edition, you know?
Well, I think you're
that's kind of dodgy, you know, isn't it?
I think it's only in the indicia because you have to the interiors are all going to be the same. They're just going to.
I'm just saying, if you're not giving like an indicative warning on the cover that it's this much,
it's more expensive when you bring it up.
Right. I mean, that's sort of dodgy, right? I mean, that's like kind of fooling people.
Well, I think they're looking at it from the perspective of most people that are buying comics in, say, on the newsstand are probably not your, you know, regular monthly comic book buyer. You know, it's like they may pick one up for their kid, or and they're not even going to know the difference. You know what I mean? They're not even going to pay attention to whether it's $2.99 in a comic shop because they may never have been in one.
Web comic.
Yeah, especially if it's 4.3.
I'm sorry. Forgive me for having some sort of sense of like.
Oh Lord, you are fucking feisty tonight.
All right, all right.
Crank leaves the house and it's sassy time.
Another beer.
So Marvel's testing
Crank's
this.
Crank, get ready to tell us a story about how I used to live in the alley.
All right. If it's dodgy.
Help me.
Our next story is Christos Gage is bringing back The Man with No Name.
Oh, Craig just exploded. You just said
for people that may not know The Man with No Name, it was a series of Sergio Leone films starring Clint Eastwood. Mm-hmm. They were now I can't remember the name of the actual for a few dollars more, or
High Plains Drifter and Pale Rider.
No, Pale Rider's
not.
No.
High Plains.
Guys, it's right here in the news release.
Oh,
is it? Character appeared in A Fistful of Dollars for a few dollars more.
And The Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
The Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah. But anyway, Christos Gage is bringing him back in comic book
Cowboys.
In comic book form through Dynamite Entertainment. So if you're looking for a Western, Man with No Name coming back. I kind of like the idea of taking older properties like that from film or different maybe TV shows and bringing them back and doing something new with them, you know, giving you that that ending to
what happened to the Man with No Name.
Yeah.
I'm dying to know.
I do not.
Yeah,
you do not like it.
I think you
I'm
should
throwing
never
Mike
know.
A pound in the air.
You should never know what happens. Yeah. That's what the beauty name. Of those
yeah.
kind of projects.
Can I just
you know?
Say that?
That's why there was only one Highlander movie.
Oh,
I will agree with you on that.
No.
All right, our next story. Hero is sponsoring a meat stand on a yacht auction on eBay.
What the fuck?
Is that really a story?
Yes.
Did you just make?
No,
it
I swear
Jesus
to God.
Christ.
At the San Diego Comic Con, you can, or at, on eBay.com, you can bid on the opportunity to win a date with Stan on a yacht. That will be parked behind the San Diego Comic
Con. Meat stand on a yacht.
No, not a meat stand. Meat stand.
Stan
Lee.
I'm gonna kebabs on a yacht.
No.
I'm gonna sponsor a contest. Meat crank in a dumpster in the back of Western and Lawrence.
That's every week on the Crankcast.
But so you can bid on this and meet Stan Lee on a yacht. Photo and FaceTime with Stan aboard the Illusion TV yacht, which is anchored in the beautiful San Diego Marina, right behind the convention center. Two of your own personal comic books signed by Stan Lee and then certified by CGC with the prestigious Signature Series label. Lunch prior to meeting Stan Lee, courtesy of Hero Board member CGC President Steve Borrow.
Did they give you a ham sandwich?
Lunch will be with Steve and System of a Down drummer extraordinaire and lifelong comic book collector John Dolmayan.
Do you have to drop acid before you do
this? What the fuck is wrong with our industry all of a sudden? Jesus.
In a bunny suit.
Yeah, this is a goddamn Survivor all of a sudden. Look, eat an eyeball.
And crank.
Jump over the rope, swim through the ocean, vote someone off, and have dinner with a whole bunch of slew of motherfuckers.
I have nothing to do with each other.
Stanley and the drummer, Ariel.
And oddly enough, Crank will be at every one of them.
He's going to be there. He's going to be drunk. Like
naked
normal.
And drunk.
I love the fact that we now have a weekly tradition of one like
Stan Lee story.
Stan Lee
yeah, why
story.
Is it? Yeah, why? I seriously, as he gets older, you think he would get crazy, but no, the industry gets crazy.
I actually had another Stan Lee story that I didn't put in. That was Stan Lee is being sued by Stan Lee Media. And that's a real story.
And even he woke up and read that. It's like, what the fuck?
What the fuck is wrong with this thing? Comics are done at this point, right? I mean,
it's dumb.
I didn't put it.
It's going to be revealed that Stan Lee Media, the guy in charge, is going to rip off his mask. It's going to be Jack Kirby.
I think we're okay. Last story here. IDW is seeking a new editor. At the San Diego Comic Con, the end of July, IDW Publishing would like to talk to you. Acclaimed comic books and graphic novels such as 30 Days a Night and The Transformers has a position open for a qualified editor and will be accepting resumes for worthy applicants at their booth during the show.
So are they local to San Diego? I didn't know that.
They must be, yeah.
Well, shit, I'll go work there.
There you go. They're going to be at Publishing Booth 2229.
I drank a few beers and just got fired. Oh, shit, fuck my company. I would definitely go work for IDW.
Dude, have you been to San Diego?
It's really nice out there. I got boats.
They're not going to bring the zoo to your apartment.
But they might bring Stan Lee.
I like the Tigers.
And the drummer from...
Got koalas.
I like Tigers and Stan Lee and the drummer guy.
It's like 74 degrees all year round.
Yes, it is.
It's really expensive to live there, though. Have you ever met people that live in San Diego? They're all like, hey, yeah. Nobody jaywalks in San Diego? Because they're just like, right. Why?
All right, that's our WarioWare comic book news. Now it is time for Top of the Stack. Top of the Stack, our chance to tell you what we've been reading. Tom, you always start us off, so why don't you
Tom.
What have you been reading? What's your top of the stack?
My top of the stack is BPRD Garden of Souls number 5.
You said you didn't read anything good this week.
I didn't. I was just saying that for everyone's benefit to make you laugh. Because when I see you laugh, it makes me laugh on the inside.
Oh, I love you.
So anyway, back to the entertainment for people listening. BPRD Garden of Souls
as opposed
number
to
5
for ourselves.
Yeah, we hate doing the show. The story is by Mike Mignola and John Arcudi, with art by Guy Davis. It's the end of a 5-issue miniseries sort of focusing on Abe Sapien's background. I'm a huge fan of Hellboy and BPRD because it fits exactly into my own twisted sense of, like, I like shit like old skeletal men inside robots and trapped on islands and a fish man fighting them.
Because they're appearing with Stan Lee in San Diego. Yeah.
That's crazy because I like firefighters.
I mean,
I've seen the calendar.
The 5-issue series, it's all sort of about Abe Sapien sort of finding out that he had a past life sort of as an occult investigator who was part of some sort of secret organization who was trying to, like, sort of bring about the end of the world, but also finds out that, you know, he has changed. Like, he doesn't remember that his past life, but all these guys who are into being inside giant, weird-looking Victorian robots...
Which is awesome.
Still think it's him.
Like Tom's fucking sweet.
Which is me, which I think is fucking sweet. Still think it's their old friend.
They're into it? Like, it's a lifestyle?
Yeah, it's a lifestyle choice, Mike.
It's like bondage and then robot.
It's more of a transitional phase
in
their
Davis
life.
Art is amazing. I just love looking at the art. And I love... Yeah, it's like I experimented with being inside a Victorian robot.
Was that the first year or the second?
I mean, come on, dude. There's a fucking panel. Look at this panel of a Victorian-looking robot holding a candelabra.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's too much realism in my comics for me.
Isn't that sweet? I loved all 5 issues. I'm sure the trade will be coming out shortly. I love Abe Sapien as a character because he kind of reminds me of... my favorite X-Men character is actually Cyclops.
Really?
The character that no one likes except me. Like, Abe Sapien's sort of like that guy who was sort of in the background, but then occasionally gets his own, like, showcase. And unfortunately, X-Men has never actually bothered to, like, what, Crank? Look at you.
He's getting ready to get sassy.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say that he reminds you of you as a child.
Abe Sapien, yes. I was an occult investigator as a child.
And a fish.
And a fish.
A big fish.
Yeah, and a big fish man. It's pretty gruesome. He cuts the hands off a guy in the head.
It was very gruesome. It was actually more gruesome than I think any BPRD story has been up to this point. It was bloody.
It was a really nice story. I love BPRD. I loved this issue.
I have all the trades. I haven't read any of them yet.
You should. They're great.
They are good. They are very good.
Jane, go read that.
Thor says read BPRD.
All right, Scotty, what have you been reading? Other than Preacher?
It's going to be Preacher.
It's just another bit and piece of Preacher.
Slow reader.
Hey, you know what? I have to do things like build my millions and stack my green.
He has world building.
Yeah, I build worlds and stuff.
Risk
world or war.
I only read right before I go to sleep at night.
Oh,
so I'm going. No, I got nothing. So, a little bit more Preacher. I've read and I now know what you guys were talking about. Some of it's. You get some of that crazy backstory of him as a kid, and you find out that his world's crazy, but you still don't understand why he accepts the fact that there's a vampire hanging out with him. Really? I mean, just because his family was crazy and threw him in the bottom of an ocean in a coffin.
Have you not ever hung out with a vampire? Well, at least once.
No, seriously, though. I mean,
but I did piss my pants when I met him.
The only thing about it, though, is it is consistent in that fact the whole way through. That, nothing, you know what I mean? It's like their mentalities of nothing really.
Right.
Shocking them is consistent throughout the whole thing. Yeah, well, so while it may not make sense,
part of me actually I felt like at the beginning of the book, I liked the character of Jesse Custer, the preacher. I liked him a little more at the beginning than I'm starting to like him now, because I felt at the beginning of the book he was he had gotten the word, basically the power of God to make people do things, but he still wasn't all the way. He was still reserved a little bit, and he talked about wanting to, you know, keeping that to himself a little bit, not using it frivolously. Mm. And I liked the fact that you had, on one hand, you had Cassidy, who's, you know, do all the crazy shit. You had Tulip, who's kind of middle of the road. She's kind of crazy, kind of in love with him. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like on the right, you know, you had the crazy stuff happen to him at the beginning of the trade with his grandmother. And then right after that, now he is full on. Everybody is full on hardcore now. Every character is the same level of hardcore.
Have you read the issue where he meets the guy who knows his father from Vietnam?
Jody?
The guy.
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm not there yet. I just right now I really like.
I'm trying to gauge.
I'm at the part where they're at the Jesus de Sade or whatever. Whatever that the crazy pale dude that has the party.
Oh, okay.
And there's the star, whatever.
Air star.
Yeah. I'm right about there. But
I think
let's just say I won't talk about that part yet. Let's just say I'm up through right after they finally leave the grandmother's house.
Yeah.
And they end that whole, they kill her and all that stuff. I felt that. I really enjoyed that. I thought, oh, this is crazy. Like, his family's mm-hmm. nuts. He was really abused as a child. But after that, I was liking where it was going. But then all of a sudden, I felt like I wasn't getting enough variety out of the characters. So I'm hoping, I'm hoping that changes a little bit. Because right now, I feel like the main characters are super hardcore. The guys they run into are super hardcore. The C and D characters are super hardcore. Everybody is the same level of hardcore. It's like watching a fucking Kevin Smith movie.
There's going to be portions coming up that I think will help you out with this. There's going to be like single issue parts
mm-hmm.
that, especially with Cassidy,
right.
that talk about his past
right.
that are actually make him a much more sympathetic character.
Right.
It sort of softens
okay.
that sort of hardcore tone to him because you kind of see where he comes from.
And I'm having a hard time just remembering. It's been a while since I read the trades, but
what's coming.
No, I don't want to tell you. That's just, I'm trying to.
I'm not telling you.
Well,
what
that's exactly what I'm not trying to tell right. you what's going on. But the, you know, it's like with Jesse, you should come to a realization of him that may help you, like may make things make more sense.
Well, I can't say. I'm sure things will start falling into place, but. I can only comment on what I've read so far. So my,
mm-hmm. I wish you would comment on things you don't know about.
Well, yeah.
like we do,
yeah,
all the time.
Bunch of dumbasses.
Hey,
but no, I'm saying up until now, I'm really enjoying it. But the few downsides to it, I'm feeling it's almost like watching
everybody
movie where every character is. It's not about witty. They're all like, now all of a sudden he wants to fight all the time. And it's,
yeah.
So that's
a
right
strong internal logic that sort of overrides everything else that happens.
Because like I want to, like, sometimes I want to read it and I want to be into the characters in the story and not. The worst thing that can happen to me when reading a book is have the writer show through the writing. If I think a great writer is never seen. You know what I mean? And that's sometimes watching a Kevin Smith movie, I feel like you see Kevin Smith through the whole movie.
I think it's just too badass for you,
like,
pussy.
I think that's the problem. Go the fuck outside, motherfucker.
You don't
want some more love, man.
Funny book shit.
You don't want any of that.
Because I will fucking hit you with a chair.
You don't want any of that. String beam.
Anyway, the preacher. Bye.
All right.
Crank has no top of the stack.
Mike, top of the stack?
Mike Norton, top of the stack.
Your mom.
What are you reading right now?
Your mom's on top of my stack.
Yeah. Really? I do this at the office. Do I have to come here for that?
Mr. Braxton's wife is... She's on a stack.
The last thing I just read was Criminal.
The Trade?
Trade. And I really liked it. I'm not familiar... I honestly haven't read a whole lot of Brubaker stuff. In fact, some of the only stuff I read was Scene of the Crime a long time ago, which was excellent. And this was more of the same of that. I can see why people want him to write these kind
crime
of stories.
Crime books, yeah.
And it definitely, I could see this totally as a movie. I mean, it was a great book, and I'm looking forward to the next story arc. So,
The Trade didn't have, like, the backup material, right?
No, but I've never really been huge on that stuff. A lot of people really like that stuff, like they say, like, in Casanova and, like, in Watchmen and stuff that makes the book.
I always skip it.
And I do, too, and I'm sure that it does give you an extra thing, but it doesn't...
It's
not necessary to understand the book,
no.
So I don't really Casanova's feel like
I'm there Casanova's with you. A bit different with Criminal, I personally really enjoyed it, but it was from... It really isn't about the book at all. The backup stuff in Criminal is either him or Sean Phillips or other people, friends of his, I think Andy Parks and a few other people, talking about noir movies.
Right.
So it sort of made it more of a almost like a crime magazine where you had these articles in the back that were them talking about their favorite noir movies. So it really had nothing to do with... the comic itself, it was just, this extra feature in the back that, like I said, it had nothing to do with the book. It certainly wasn't necessary, but if you were interested in learning more about noir movies...
If you were interested in, the noir movies, but you get this, I mean, seriously, as I was reading it, I was not thinking word one about noir when
really?
I was reading it. I did not think about it. I didn't...
Gummy
even
bears.
When I was reading through it, I was not picking up on that whole noir vibe.
Really?
I was reading it as this is a very interesting crime drama. You know, I wasn't picking up on that style. Because, you know, noir, as I know it, I think of, movies,
Right.
I just didn't, other than the high contrast artwork in there, it wasn't hitting me like a ton of bricks.
Right.
But the story was just really, really...
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wasn't picking up... like, if you, watch Brick, and you're saying, whoa, this is a noir movie, but it's modern day because of the way these guys are talking to each other.
Right.
I wasn't getting
was
that...
Brick the one with the kids in high school?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting that when I was reading this, but I didn't need to.
You didn't need to.
Because it's not about... noir.
No,
it's about a good crime story. Yeah. So I didn't feel it was necessary for me to read a bunch of essays on why noir is so awesome.
No, it's and I think that's a perfect point too. Is that people that pick up on it as like a noir story is because they're fans of that genre of film,
exactly.
And so they're they're using it for whatever reason. But it's a good story either way. So it doesn't
Matter. Totally.
And I think the second arc so far has been I think even better than the first.
Really?
One. Yeah.
Well, I look forward to it.
So, okay. Well, I guess it's just me.
What's your top of the stack?
My
Sal?
Top of the stack is Madman Atomic Comics number 3. Mike Allred and Laura Allred did the colors, but Michael Allred did all the story and art. I read the first two issues of this. I had read some Madman stuff years ago. I was never a huge Madman fan, but I figured with the new series I would start picking up. And I have to honestly say the first two issues were I was starting to feel a little lost in it. It's a really bizarre... introspective mind fuck of a story, not really sure what's going on, but this issue I absolutely loved, more so from an aspect of the art in it. Basically the story is Madman sort of in a coma and he is stuck in his own mind and he's convinced himself that there is no reality and that everything he thought was real is just figments of his imagination. And that was at the end, in issue 2, and at the end of issue 2, his childhood hero, who's this like superhero kind of character, comes into his mind to try and pull him out of this,
I'm so fucking lost.
I know. Well, anyway, This story is basically him traveling with his childhood hero through all the phases of his life and all the different changes in his life. And it's represented by Mike Allred doing about 85 different homages to different comic book artists. And he lists them in the front, and it's a huge list, you can see, of guys from Charles Schultz, Winsor McKay, E.C. Seeger, Carl Banks, all the way up to, you know, I mean, there's Gene Colan, John Cassaday, Scott Hampton, Michael Avon Oeming, Dan Brereton. I mean, there's just this huge Jay Bone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as you read it, it, like I said, it's a story of him traveling sort of throughout his own mind. And almost every panel is him doing an homage to a different artist. And it's really just these two characters traveling through this little journey. But it's just an amazing example of Mike Allred's love of different cartoonists. And the other thing that I kind of got about halfway through it, and I may just be reading into it too much or whatever, but I kind of got the feeling like he was almost trying to say something about these are all the influences that he had to kind of learn and go through to develop his own art. You know what I mean? It's like these are all the guys that he pulled from at some point, and it's what he had to travel through to develop what we now know as his own, you know, Allred style. But I just was blown away by just the...
I love the Bart Simpson, Jamie Hewlett, Gorillaz panel.
There's so many. You can just look at this book over and over again. I mean, there's just so many different styles that he's putting there. And like I said, he's listed them all in the front. Unfortunately, I mean, I could only pick out about maybe 30% of them. You know, there's some of them I just had no idea what they were. They look kind of familiar, but... it's the kind of book that you can go back and just look at, and just an amazing
my
example
was
of an
the
art.
Peanuts one.
Peanuts one was awesome. I like the Charles
Bugs
Schultz.
Bunny one, like the old school Bugs Bunny.
I like the Hal Foster one. I thought was awesome. I like the Dave Gibbons one. Was cool. It was a readable story too. It wasn't just like an experiment in art. It was a readable story that made sense and just blew me away. Honestly, I was initially going to pick Nexus 99. Because I'm a huge Nexus fan, but then I read this and I had to pick this book because it was just awesome. So that is my top of the stack.
Akira.
Yeah, I mean it's just so many of them in there. It's unreal. It's a great issue. So that's it. That'll do top of the stack. And now it is time for what's the time for, Tom?
Crank's wrestling a bear outside.
Oh shit.
It's time for future stacks. Future stacks. All right, future stacks, as it's been
dubbed.
This is sort of a preview of what's coming out next week. It's not a complete list by any means. Just some stuff that I picked out. First off, single issues from Dark Horse. We got The Goon number 19. Eric Powell's returning to The Goon finally. It's been a while. So that will be out. And if you haven't read The Goon before, it's just a fun, awesome art, just funny stories, and Eric Powell's awesome. So
yeah, you don't need to. You can pick up The Goon whenever.
They're all pretty much self-contained. So also from Dark Horse, Zero Killer number 1 by Arvid Nelson, Matt Camp, Dave Stewart. This is the guy, creator of Rex Mundi. This is a new miniseries from him from Dark Horse, about a sort of post-apocalyptic world where a single sort of heroic character exists. But I'm a big fan of Rex Mundi, so I just thought maybe it would be good. From DC Comics, we got All Flash number 1, written by Mark Guggenheim, art by Tony
S. It's not written by Mark Guggenheim.
It's not written by Mark Guggenheim?
It's written by Mark Waid.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, okay.
How do you like that cover?
The Josh Milton one's great. The Bill Sienkiewicz one is weird because it looks like Flash is running and crying.
And I love, I love Sienkiewicz, but that one's
it's weird,
a little phoned. Yeah, anyway.
Oh, also from DC Comics, we have this is from Vertigo. Program number 1 from Peter Milligan, with art by C.P. Smith. This is a Cold War story. It just sounded really fucked up. And anything from Peter Milligan, I dig.
It's your mind.
Yeah, it'll freak you out. Marvel Comics, we got Giant Size Marvel Adventures Avengers number 1.
Jesus Christ. That's a long title, man.
This is from Jeff Parker, Agents of Atlas. And the Agents of Atlas actually appear in this book, which I thought was kind of cool. So I loved the Agents of Atlas. So do that. Next one, new X-Men number 40, written by Christopher Yost and Craig Kyle, pencils and cover by Scotty Young.
Scooty Young.
Part 3 or 4.
Yeah!
You know, we just, you know, you had to put that in there, right, Scotty?
I know.
Also, super villain team-up, MODOK 11, number 1.
I'm so excited for MODOK 11.
I knew you would be. Fred Van Lente, penciled by Francis Portello, and covered by Eric Paul. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the
MODOK. It's like
the
Ocean's 11. It's like Ocean's 11. MODOK 11. Organizing it. It's going to be sweet.
We also have The Order, number 1, Matt Fraction, and pencils and cover by Barry
Champions.
Barry Kitts. Yeah, this was the Champions. They've changed to The Order. The art is awesome. It looked, the preview page I saw, Barry Kitson is, yeah, he's phenomenal. So, and now we have some trades that are coming out. First from AIT Planetar, Monster Attack Network, the graphic novel, $12.95, Mark Bernadine and Adam Freeman, with art by Nima Sorat. I just read the solicit for this and thought it sounded kind of cool. Marvel at the Pacific. I'm not going to read it, but it, you can go online and find it. It looked like a pretty cool looking graphic novel. DC Comics. We have Alan Moore Wild Worlds trade for $20, $19.99. This is a different DC.
This is a different
Wildstorm stuff yeah. that he had done.
All versus Spawn.
Yeah, baby.
I read that back in the day.
Woo! American Virgin Volume 2, Going Down. Trade paperback, $14.99. I haven't read. I still have the first trade. I haven't read it yet.
First trade's pretty good.
Is it? I haven't gotten to it yet, but second trade's coming out. Batman, Harvey, and Harley and Ivy for $14.99, written by Paul Dini. And Judd Winnick, art by Bruce Timm, Joe Chiodo, and others. I just love Bruce Timm's stuff, so.
So roll with it.
Martian Manhunter, The Other Among Others Among Us, 1999.
For your nonconformist.
A.J. Lieberman, and art and cover by A.R.L. Barrio Nuevo.
Good at names, Sal.
Yeah, collecting the 8-issue miniseries, shedding new light on the popular JLA member.
Popular is a strong word.
Yeah.
Use it very loosely.
Showcase presents Martian Manhunter Volume 1 for $16.99.
I'm interested in this only because the Martian Manhunter it actually precedes the Flash as a Silver Age character.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But not very good.
Stormwatch, Stormwatch PhD Volume 1, written by Christos Gage, covered by Doug Mankey.
That will be an excellent book.
Yes.
Stormwatch has been a fantastic book.
It has been really good.
I should read it?
Yes.
I think you should.
Is it sci-fi?
And the art's awesome. Doug
it's Mankey. Like if you had a super team and all of a sudden the super team doesn't have money, like what do they do? Like,
so it's like the
cops.
Ultimate Fantastic Four?
No.
It's the opposite of Ultimate Fantastic Four in that it's not completely predictable.
At all, yeah. And it's really good.
Okay.
From Dynamite, we have The Boys trade paperback volume 1 for $14.99. Garth Ennis, Derek Robinson.
Up the ass fun.
Yes, yes. Godland volume 3 coming out. And Sidekick volume 1, Paul
People
Jenkins.
People should buy this because Chris Moreno is fucking awesome.
Chris Moreno
is a good guy
Jenkins.
And a good artist.
Yes,
he's
he is.
Funny.
And that was a funny series. It was. Yeah. I had read the single issues. From Marvel's Marvel Comics, we have the Hood Premier Hardcover. This is an older series from Brian K. Vaughn and Kyle Holtz. It was a miniseries, 6 issues that came out a while back, but they're giving it a hardcover, new hardcover edition. It was pretty good. And then Powers Volume 10 from Brian Michael Bendis, Michael Evan Oeming.
Good, because that's been a long time.
Yeah, a long time.
Nine was like over a year ago.
I'm waiting for them to announce the third hardcover.
Long time.
Some magazines that are coming out. Comics Journal number 284, which I was amazed. I didn't know that the Comics Journal was $12. That's a fucking expensive magazine. Did it really? It used to be nine. It's $11.95 now for all your comic snarky
it's
and highbrow.
To tell you how you're stupid.
Yeah. From Tomorrow's, we have Alter Ego number 70, which spotlighted Roy Thomas at Marvel in the 1970s. A little self-serving, Roy. Don't you fucking own that magazine, Roy?
It's a magazine to tell you that you missed. Comics Journal tells you you're stupid. Alter Ego tells you you missed all the good stuff.
And back issue number 23, which features cinema in comics and stuff like that. So,
I think, can I say something?
Sure.
I think Crank lost to that bear that he's been wrestling because he's gone.
So that is our future stacks, and that will end the future stacks episode, or part of the episode. Let's move on to some listener email. We have a bunch of listener email. Try and get through some of these. Yeah, we have a ton of
three pages.
I know. We had a lot of email, and I couldn't put it with the other stuff.
We'll just try when Chris is gone, the show goes fast. That's out the window,
yeah,
Chris.
Come back, Chris. I told you guys. All right, let's see. Let's go to this one. This is from John Walter. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I found you after hearing about comicspodcast.com thanks to the guys at Variant Edition. This goes to prove that Variant Edition are dumbasses. Why the frig would you want to point someone towards a podcast that is far superior? Well, they did. I love your complete lack of professionalism and fact that you at least sound like you are having fun. Rather amusing on all levels, better than socks. I'm English, John Walters."
You are English.
I'm English.
Well, thank you.
I like that. We got to reread it now.
Why?
I'm English.
I found you.
You're just bitching about how long the show's going?
Why are you fucking with me, man?
Because it's my job.
Let me express.
This isn't your art table. I'm not fucking Marvel, okay?
This
is a podcast.
Scotty. You know what? fuck you.
Scotty.
You're cool.
Scotty, when we show up here, we have a blank computer, all right? How do you approach that blank computer? It's intimidating.
All right, the next email. I just want to tell you guys I love the show and look forward every week to hearing from Chris Sale, Tom Scotty, Scotty Zigo, John Suntress, Man of a Dozen Voices, Mike Norton, and the people buying comics in the background that you can sort of hear sometimes. I love Tom's jokes, Scotty's random yelling of things, Sal's casual racism. And John Suntress reference.
What are you? Are you racist?
I don't know. I guess. And John Suntress. I don't know. Yeah.
We should put together a clip show.
Yeah. John Pollock's.
John Suntress's references from the 1930s. I especially appreciate the occasionally sincerity, which so many snarky podcasts lack. Please do an entire episode of Future Stacks sometimes in the future.
Yeah, can we?
Maybe you can read an issue of Previews cover to cover verbatim. Oh. Just a thought.
Jesus Christ.
Keep up the good work, Jason Howard. P.S. Beeblebore.
You know how that's going to be for the 24-hour Crankcast.
The Beeblebore thing is crazy now because it's been probably 3 months.
Hey,
and now it's caught on like wildfire. I've never
said
shirts,
even say dude.
It. I got an email here from Lance.
From Lance.
Guys, great show last Monday. I missed John S. I assume you mean Suntress. And I really dislike Scotty.
Hold on.
I hope he stays on the show.
Yeah. See how fast he turned around?
There's that bizarre love-hate thing there. I like the future stacks segment on the show, but maybe you can make it a real future stack and speculate. Whether what the writing and art will be like for next year. There will be no books next year. They're just going to plug it into our brain. Actually, then I might work with some of DC's All-Star line. Look forward to seeing you in Chicago, Lance.
And our next
Thanks,
one.
Lance.
Thank you, Lance.
Thank you.
Jesus
Christ.
Yeah, this one's kind of long.
Really
I'm going to read it fast. congrats on your realism in comic show. A nice debate over the dividing lines between real world and fantasy. I suppose I come down on the side of realism when I buy my comics. I noticed that you cited Captain America quite a bit in the realism debate. If all Steve Rogers did was to smash costume bad guys, smile and utter, gee whiz, isn't America great? He would appear more of a gymnastic stereotype rather than a symbol of the country. Sure, the occasional tussle with the Red Skull is fun, but it is fascinating watching the embodiment of America coming to blows with those he sees trampling on his ideals. As a high school lit teacher, I pull comics and graphic novels into the classroom when appropriate. In my mythology class, I ask students to read one of the World War II Golden Age Captain America tales by Simon and Kirby and contrast it with the 9/11 tale from Ryburn Cassidy's Captain America number 1. My goal is for students to recognize changes in media patriotism and the role of heroes. Both stories engage different shades of realism as they relate to specific points of our history. I'm not going to read the rest. Basically, he was trying to say, yeah, it's just too goddamn long.
That was really big.
Yeah, I don't think we ever said that like realism was a bad thing. It's just, you know, it's a matter of taste. It's a matter of what story tone you're trying to do and all that. But thanks for listening.
I'll read this next one.
Okay.
From Mr. Eric Osborne. I was writing to give you guys a few suggestions.
Thank you.
Which
that's
we always
what we
love. Yeah, thank you. First, the idea of Tom's quarter book review is a great idea.
No.
I know he would do a great job.
Nah.
I wouldn't. Secondly, future stacks is a great idea. But I believe it could use some work.
Yeah, you and everybody else.
What the? Everybody's a backseat driver on you guys' show.
Everyone's to drop in the
That's your fucking podcast.
Demo, Demolition Derby car. Everyone's right in the back seat.
Everyone's sitting in their producer resume all of a sudden.
I like the idea of the segment's ability to raise attention to some notable books, but at present it seems unfocused.
Yeah.
Set some limitations, such as 5 floppies and 3 trades per segment.
No.
Well, no, then the show would end early, and what would we do for the rest of the night? Yeah.
I have to stay out till 2 because my girlfriend's with some other guy. It just becomes awkward if I don't have a
lie.
In the
bathroom.
I truly enjoy the freeform nature of the show. In fact, I think you guys do it better than anyone else, but it can seem a bit rambling at times.
Yeah, don't listen to this one.
Hearing synapses after synapses. This isn't the worst one by far. Sometimes a book is just worth mentioning because of the creator or whatever. It might not need the synapses. Having said that, the segment is a great addition to the show, almost as great as Scotty.
Ooh.
Speaking of which, the idea of a video show art tutorial is very exciting. Man, I hope you guys do that. Me and many of my artist friends would dig it very much. And lastly, you guys are great. Your show is my favorite podcast without question. I hope to someday meet you all in person. P.S. Hey, Scotty, I think I'm going to steal your idea of the art club. I think it's a great idea. You might not know this, but Scotty trademarked that.
What, the art club?
Yeah. So yeah. It is trademarked.
So step the fuck off, yeah. Osborne.
Off,
no, just kidding. Yeah, you should do it. It's fun.
Future Stacks is unfocused, but I think it's probably going to remain that way.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
It requires.
I just pick out stuff that I kind of looks interesting to me. That if I was walking through a shop, I would probably
would
take a look
it.
At.
All right,
I'm not saying buy it. I just
you do
take
it.
A look.
No,
fuck everybody.
You want people to buy it.
Everybody
this next
it.
One's from Greg from Sheffield, England. He says, "A up." That's English for hello.
I thought hello was English for hello.
Yeah, I'd just like to say you guys are great. Tom, you scare me a little. I always want to.
Greg from Sheffield, I'm coming. I'm looking at you right now. I love you.
I love you.
God.
But really, I stumbled across the show by accident. How does that happen? How do you stumble across a smally listened to internet show? And I've listened to about 75% of the shows.
Small.
I listen at work, which freaks my boss out because I will all of a sudden burst out in hysterics. So keep up the good work, Greg from Sheffield, England.
We'll
future
do our
homeless
best.
Man.
A lot of people say that about laughing at work.
Yeah.
Nobody really fucking works in this country, do they?
We try.
Everybody, everybody's sitting
here.
He's
at work. In England, dude. He's not even in this fucking country. Talk about England.
Take it easy, sassy.
Wow. Listen, God. What, do you hate this country? You got a problem with America?
I'm now going to read the last one. Hey, guys, my name's Philip Kolar, and I'm a long-time listener to Around Comics and a big fan. I do a couple of podcasts of my own, if you don't mind a quick pimp. Oh, man. www.evilavatarradio.com is my video games podcast, and Johnny Gigawatt and Tiger Men from Mars, tigermen.podshow.com, is my new comics podcast. Yeah. We mentioned you guys in our latest episode.
Well, thank
Don't
you.
Think yeah. that will get you on our good side.
It's a pretty short name there.
Yeah.
Phil.
Visit our GeoCities account. Anyway, the real reason I was writing you is to talk about your realism comics discussion. A bit behind. But I wanted to bring up a point. You guys kept bringing up politics and comics as if it was something really new with events like Civil War. Only John pointed out it existed in subtext, at least way back in the 70s.
Because he was only on a live reading comics back then.
70s and 80s.
205.
I wanted to ask if you guys have read the early Superman Chronicles.
Yes.
And I have, and he's always fighting landlords. Yeah. But you should always listen to your landlord. The very first Superman stories, ostensibly, some of the very first superhero stories ever are extremely political, something I was surprised and excited to discover. Politics, in my opinion, have always been a big part of comics. Keep up the awesome work on your show, all, and if you ever need a special guest host, scream at me, best Phil.
Yeah, certainly politics have been a part of comics for a long time, but I think Civil War goes a little bit different in regards of
being the only thing going on.
Well, that's what the book is about.
Yeah.
Yes.
About all right, that's our email. If you'd like to email us, you can do so at info@aroundcomics.com, or you can reach us individually at Sal, Chris, or Tom at Around Comics. There are also a few other ways you can interact with the show.
We wish you wouldn't, though. Comics visit us at comicspace.com/aroundcomics. You can go to MySpace. We are friends with lots of strippers. MySpace.com/aroundcomics. Almost like as many as Warren Ellis. Leave us an iTunes review.
No, not even close to Warren Ellis.
I know, yeah.
You can leave us a message on our hotline, 1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call, leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show. You can join our Frapper map at frapper.com/aroundcomics. We had a bunch of frappers this week. Yorko from Mexico City, Mexico, she said, I love the show.
Greg Rogers in Sheffield, England said, England rocks, and shout out to all the DC zombies.
Martin Charlton from Seaman.
Nottingham.
Nottingham, England says, hey guys, been listening to you for a year now. Love the show. Episode 111, best ever.
What was episode 111?
What was it? 111. It was probably some kick-ass.
Dave M. in Sydney, Australia. Slapdash, unprofessional, and obnoxious. Everything a good podcast needs.
John Mallon from Okemos, Michigan. I killed cable. All right.
Craig Freeson from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Around comics!
That's all he said.
Jason Arnold from Tampa, Florida. Tom makes the show more funny than blah, blah, ha, ha, out of that JLA. It's all about Tom.
It is all about Tom. Nate Bensalem, or Nate from Bensalem, Pennsylvania. Scotty Young is my god.
You're goddamn right I am.
Send him 20 bucks.
Nate.
I think you would, you real
good. Okay, your kung fu is, from Rick. Rick Triple H. It's like a wrestler thing. From Harvey, Illinois. Harv, Illinois.
No, it's Harvey.
Harvey.
Sorry, I missed
okay, your kung fu is kind of strong. Oh, wait, you got to go. Ha-ha! Okay, your kung fu is kind of strong. You're going to get a fat...
My head's already gigantic.
You're going to get a fat head over it.
I have a fucking pituitary gland.
My kung fu He went on the Stan Lee trip. He's tripping out.
Not many people know this, but I have a... pituitary gland condition where my head is gigantic.
You're like the leader, dude.
So, yeah. So
Gavin Smith, Kokomo, Indiana. Looking forward to meeting you guys at Where's the World, Chicago.
A comic book girl in Valencia, California. She's actually from the iFanboy board.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
She became my Netflix friend after I said Scotty wouldn't be my friend.
Thanks for making me laugh.
Somebody MySpaced me about that. Somebody actually MySpaced me and goes, I listened to Around Comics, and I know you don't really do the internet friend thing, but I just wanted to tell you that I really like your art. So I'm sorry, I do like and I told him, I was like, I just say that to get on their nerve, you know, just to play around
dick.
With it. But he was really apologizing about it.
Thanks for making me laugh and making my work days go by so much faster.
You're welcome, a comic book girl.
Yes.
Comic book girl.
Well, that's pretty much it for this episode, guys. I do want to remind everyone that this show has been sponsored by Borders.
To help mice thrive in a world filled with harsh conditions predatory attacks.
The Mouse God
is formed. In the first volume, Sax and Kenji.
A lab.
Liam are dispatched to find a missing merchant house that never arrived at his destination.
Did you say missing merchant house? House?
Mouse. A mouse
doing
mate.
So, they stumbled into might. So much more than they had bargained for. Get your copy of David Peterson, A Man. Breakthrough series, Mouse Guard, at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the newest graphic novels, manga, and more. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Tom, Scotty, Mike, Chris. Dave.
Crank, who died in the fucking parking lot.
He did die.
He walked away.
And thanks to Mark at Dark Tower for hosting us as always.
Thank you.
Everybody have a fantastic week. We'll be back again on Thursday with our Comics 101, How to Be a Comic Book Artist.
How to Live Like a Comic Book Artist.
How to Live the Life.
Live large, baby.
In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in
and around
comics.
Can I take your order, please?
Send us a pizza.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah.